You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts in the Morning is on now.
It is Friday, December 16th, 2016, and this is the Roto Experts in the Morning. After a few technical difficulties, we are live for the next 2 hours. Alongside the King, Scott Angle, Fantasy Executive Corey Parsons,
yo,
Tony Cicada, the sleepless one to my left. I am Greg Zoss. We're going to hang out here and talk a little about NFL football. Guys, we have our Christmas party tonight, company Christmas party.
Why are you so hot? No, go ahead.
Why am I so hot? I'm not hot. I'm just looking good.
No. I'm not. I'm saying it's hollow.
It's but hollow?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
No. Yeah, talk to the mic, Greg.
I am talking to the mic. Well, I was going to say, we have our Christmas party tonight. So, as you guys know, I've been working pretty hard on this over the last couple of weeks to have some fun tonight. And unfortunately, or fortunately, in some cases, we don't have, we have so many games to play, we have some left over that we're going to play today on the Roto Experts.
Oh, that's fun right there.
How about that?
Yeah.
But we'll start with last night where, Tony, I could have won $100 for Mike Cardano if I just trusted my gut.
How would you have won $100 for Mike Cardano?
He wanted to bet me on the games, plus 16 and a half, and I wanted the Seahawks.
Yeah, you could have absolutely got it done last night. You know what? I actually had a prediction of the exact score in last night's game, 24-3.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
George Kurtz said 41-10.
He was close. He was close. You know, the thing is, it wasn't 41-10. It was 24-3, and at no point was this game close. Ever. At no point were we thinking that the Rams had any chance. And John Fossil, head coach, of course, in his debut, he looks just like Jeff Fisher, Gory.
Yeah, really nothing much different. More or less coaching a team that's given up on the season for the most part.
Yeah.
Did see a little bit of fight early on in the game, but the Los Angeles Rams this time of year, not a team that's going to be able to run with the Seattle Seahawks, especially when Seattle is trying to make that push after that poor performance last week. So, really, I hope you didn't have to start anybody in your fantasy semifinals. That was a Los Angeles Ram, including Todd Gurley. But you got a pretty decent game from some of your Seahawks.
Yeah, but I think the costly for a lot of fantasy owners is Thomas Rawls last night.
Yeah.
Averaged under 2 yards per carry. Jimmy Graham also hurt fantasy owners that are in the playoffs. So you didn't get everything you needed from the Seattle Seahawks. And how about that guy, Pete Carroll? The guy, you know, he preaches like he's like a real you know, Christian guy, and a guy's there as an interim head coach, and he fake punts in a meaningless game.
Well, he's a special teams coach. Like, you know, I expected Pete Carroll to do.
He rubbed it in a little.
Yeah, I expected
it. He did, and they were saying that, you know, it would be surprising if it got kind of chippy towards the end of the game there. But, you know, Tony's right. Like, Tyler Lockett came up with a big game. Doug Baldwin made a terrific move on the cornerback, like, right near the end zone that, like, drew like oohs and ahs in the press box last night in Seattle.
How you know it drew oohs and ahs in the press box?
But like I was following the game on Twitter.
Okay. I wanted to say I thought you was there mentally.
Like three Seattle writers said, it's like when Baldwin pulled that move in the end zone, it said everybody in the press box was like, oh wow, you're just like, see, you got the touchdown from Baldwin, even though it wasn't a very productive night, but I expected better from Rawls. I really did, but
I think everybody did. I thought he was a good play last night.
No, it's just like you give credit again to the Rams' defensive line. I mean, how many times did we see the camera on Aaron Donald last night?
Yeah, you know, I'm going to be honest with you. I watched this game. I was like, you know what? This is not very fun. And I stopped watching this game. I wasn't interested.
What did you watch instead?
I watched
two Holiday Bake Off.
No. I told you it was on Sundays and I was over. I watched two episodes of Designated Survivor with Kiefer Sutherland and Deadpool, as I told you before the show started.
Oh, yeah. I'm a big Designated Survivor guy.
You watch that? You like it?
I don't know, but I'm behind a couple shows.
I don't think it's very good. I watch it, but I don't think it's very good.
I don't think it's going to be renewed for a second season, is it?
I think it is.
Really?
It's not very good.
I've never seen any reviews that were favorable. I like it. I keep watching it.
Same. It's not very good.
But I don't see any reviews that are favorable for that show, so I'm a little concerned.
Yeah, I know. Last night, so I was here for the DFS Live show last night, And Tony, you and Benny actually spoke about some of the cheap guys you can get here on a Thursday night, what you can play. And Benny said he really likes Tyler Lockett last night. And Tyler Lockett went off 7 for 130, had a touchdown, 57-yard touchdown here. Just blew by the defenders, kind of what we hoped and expected for from Tyler Lockett, or hoped, because we hoped we were going to get from Tyler Lockett at some point. Did not happen most of the year. It happened last night.
I played in a Monday-Thursday contest, and I had Doug Baldwin left, Jimmy Graham left, but I was in 51st place, top 21 get paid, so I said, you know what, I got to do something different. I took Baldwin out, because you have late swaps available at DraftKings in football still, and I put Tyler Lockett in, and I came 1 point short, and I was like, damn. It was a matchup. We've seen it now. Two out of his last three games, Tyler Lockett's actually played what we thought we were going to draft when we got Tyler
Lockett. Right.
Yeah, like 2 games ago, he had I think he had like 8 PPR points last week, but you know, got injured early. Took a while to get into form. But even when Lockett's healthy, you know, what you get to in the last 3 weeks is what you see.
Sure,
you know, it's going to be very boom, and sometimes it's going to be bust, and it's going to hurt you. But the thing is, though, is that he was playing in more two receiver sets last night than he usually does. They usually go curse and Baldwin in the two receiver sets. They were going more Lockett and Baldwin in the two receiver sets last night, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah, do you think then that Jermaine Kearse has been passed by Tyler Lockett then?
I think Kearse is always going to be part of the mix because they love him as a run blocker, and they feel like he's a very clutch guy, especially like in the postseason, and he will run a lot of three wide receiver sets. I'm interested to see what happens next week, whether it was scheming it up last night because they felt they could beat him deep more with big plays. But you know, Kearse really hasn't done a lot in the passing game, less than in past season, so I could see it, yes.
All right. So there you have Doug Baldwin, 535 and a touchdown. He didn't kill you. You know, he scored the touchdown, so that helps.
Kearse is a better NFL player than fantasy.
Yeah,
player.
I agree. I totally agree with that.
It's like I was telling Corey before the show, it's like he's like, wake me up when the playoffs start. You know, that's when he starts producing.
Of course.
Yeah, it's probably going to be a short stay in those playoffs this year.
Well, they'll have a week most likely to themselves. Yeah. You know, taking a break.
I'm looking forward to the Giants advancing though. When you know Dallas gets eliminated,
I hope so.
They can make it to the NFC Championship game.
Oh, that'd be great. Yeah. That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Thomas Rawls.
Looking forward to Tony Romo in Cleveland next year.
As you said, Thomas Rawls, Tony did not have a good night. 21 carries, which is good. 34 yards, which is
that's
not so
pitiful.
Good. Yeah. That was not very good. Russell Wilson did throw for 3 touchdowns and 229 yards.
He was a nice. If you did a Sunday Monday DFS, Thursday through Monday DFS contest, I think Wilson was a good player last night and ended up working out for people. Also, everybody that was fretting should they start Russell Wilson on Twitter, it worked out pretty good for you. So you're off to a good start in your Week 15 semifinal if you're a Russell Wilson supporter.
You like getting that kind of production on a Thursday night where it's usually like a poop fest.
So basically, I didn't have anyone play last night in our Greenwich Street Tavern League, but my opponent had 2 players.
Yeah.
Dougie Baldwin and Thomas Rawls. So we got 19 points from the 2 guys. Should I be happy about that?
It balanced out.
But should I be excited? Do I feel like that's a win for me?
I think that's about. I think you're treading water.
I think I got a little bit of break because I would have projected Thomas Rawls to get 14 points and probably Baldwin the same. So that's 28 points. I think I got 9 points there.
I would have said somewhere around 24.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jared Goff left this game after a monster hit from Richard Sherman. Legal, surprisingly. But it was a monster hit from Richard Sherman.
And he don't hit people usually.
Yeah. What's up with that? He normally doesn't. He's not a guy you're going to hear deliver a monster hit.
He rocked him pretty good. What was the deal with Richard?
He's always involved in tackles, though, all the time.
What was the deal with Richard Sherman trying to tackle Darrell Bevell?
What's that?
What was the deal with Richard Sherman trying to tackle Darrell Bevell last night?
Tackle Darrell Bevell? Yeah, I missed that.
They had a huge fight. So a huge screaming fight on the sidelines.
It's when you dozed off.
Yeah, seriously,
I missed the first 2 minutes of the second half. Is that when it happened?
I don't remember, to be totally honest with you, but I'm not making it up. I was actually asking. No, seriously. They got a huge screaming match on the sidelines. Richard Sherman, Darrell Bevell had to be separated by the defensive coordinator.
Well, he got into a screaming match with Chris Richard, the defensive coordinator, earlier this season as well.
Richard Sherman. Hasn't he had a fight with like Cam Chancellor this year? He's had a fight
Actually, it wasn't a fight with Chancellor. He was screaming at Rashard that time, and you know, Chancellor stepped in, and then Thomas stepped in.
Okay, yeah. So Richard Sherman's a nutcase? Is that what we're saying?
Richard Sherman only has two games this season where he's made more than two tackles.
He just looked up. Yeah.
I don't know. I watch every game. It seems like he's...
I don't know what they're seeing
in the press box because that guy is constantly in on running plays.
I guess I'm going to call Pro Football Reference and ask them to shut down their site.
You might want to do that.
Todd Gurley was...
Scotty going ride for them Seahawks.
Todd Gurley was predictably awful. Last night, he had 14 carries for 38 yards.
He looks so frustrated last night.
I'm sure he is.
You could see it. And like there was one play where they actually like gave him like an outside toss sweep, and he lost like 7 yards because somebody missed the block.
No, because it's that eighth grade offense that he keeps talking about.
Yeah.
Eighth grade.
You had Kenny Britt had 4 for 50. Brian Quick, 3 for 46. Jared Goff looked terrible. Case Keenum also looked awful. So, yeah, I don't think we could take anything away from this game.
Nothing. It was brutal. It was brutal to watch. It was up, right? And I'm watching that game, and it was like, oh, my God. I mean, I can understand Sussmania saying, hey,
I'm watching
out.
Holiday Bake Off.
Watch this game, Survivor, I said, for the record.
I'm tapping out.
I'm just being honest with what I watched. I don't want to lie to you guys.
It was on TV, you know what I'm saying?
No, you know what? I turned in the lawn and was like, this just isn't interesting. But the Seahawks uniforms, they blinded me.
Yeah, I didn't like those.
Those were not nice.
I like them.
Of course you do.
I do.
Is there any jersey of the Seattle Seahawks you do not like? No, of course not.
I would say probably, if you let me finish, I would say probably the road uniforms from like the Matt Hasselbeck, Sean Alexander are like my least favorite.
Oh, those are ugly.
Yeah, I just, you know, sometimes I like uniforms that just like not everybody likes. You know, I like that bright kind of neon. I think with the pants, it was kind of too much, but like the jersey by itself, I like it.
Okay, but the pants is the problem. That blew people's television screen up.
Yeah.
The jersey mixed with the pants. Would you wear the pants, Scott?
No, but I wear the jersey. Yeah.
It'd be tough wearing the pants because that color, people would see your print.
By the way, I really don't want to hear about the Giants schedule anymore. When you look at the Seahawks schedule and who they play, I don't want to hear that anymore.
Late season contest with the Rams.
Niners also.
There's no accuracy on the show. I mean, the guy just said that the Pro Football Reference wasn't right. Richard Sherman's a tackler. I watch the games. They're not keeping track of all his tackles.
Oh man, this is fun. I've heard the Tony impression from Scott multiple times. I've never heard the Scott Angle impression from you.
Turnabout is fair play.
This is fantastic. First one, Scott.
Yeah, there you go.
This was great. This was good.
Yeah, that'll be the last time.
All right, let's see.
I don't know though. It's just like, you know, I'm watching the games and I'm like, you know, Sherman's like in on all these and the commentators, not just me. It's constantly saying when you watch a game like how Sherman is like one of the most active corners in terms of tackling, and then you know, I'm not saying what Tony's saying it doesn't exist on Pro Football Reference. I'm kind of confounded actually.
Yeah,
you should call them.
I mean, is it just me? I mean, if you guys watch the game, don't you see Sherman in on tackles?
Not really. I kind of see you just making faces and yelling.
I kind of see them going out of the way.
Being honest, this is what I watched. You asked me a question, I'm answering it.
I don't think that's accurate.
Well, Pro Football Reference says it is, actually.
I'm confounded by this.
I don't know. The numbers in the numbers.
Maybe it's because, like, you know, it's like, you know, a few guys in on a tackle and he doesn't get the credit. I don't know. But I feel like he's a very physical player for a corner. You know, some guys are just like cover guys. I don't think that game when people talk about the best corners, they talk the main thing they talk about is who shadows the best,
best. Right, right, right.
I don't think Sherman's the best in the league at that, but I think he's the best interceptor in the league and reader of quarterbacks. And I also think he's always in on every play,
right?
Now whether it's a run or a pass,
right? And I think just judging by those numbers, I think he's just overrated. Is that fair? Maybe
I no.
Back
I
in the days of
that.
Scotty Love, okay. Would you ever consider cornrows?
Here we go, man.
Totally out of left field.
Your head is too big for cornrows, though.
My brain is large. That's
the,
why.
You know, the ball headed stooge. You know what I'm saying?
Thanks, Pipsqueak.
We'll take a break here. We're finally moving along here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. We come back. We'll get some headlines. We got a ton of stuff to play, a lot of games. I'm also going to give you guys a sports grid quiz that we put up this week. We're gonna have a lot of fun on this show. Stick around. It's Roto Experts in the Morning here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. This is 70s music, you're right. Corey Parson!
Disco.
Tony Cicada. Greg Sussman. Scott Engel, the King! This is some 70s music. You went on it, Scotty? This is Scotty Love Time.
Scotty Love Time was more like the late 80s, but I like this 70s music.
What were you doing in the 70s, Scott?
I was like
being a Met fan.
Yeah, of course.
Walking to Shea Stadium to see the Jets.
Fan,
yeah. Yeah.
I never went to a Jet game.
Oh, okay.
No.
Sorry. I was never a disco guy, but Donna Summer, the Bee Gees.
Oh, yeah.
I was listening to a lot of Kiss and the Bee Gees.
Donna Summer was actually a Boston girl.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't know
she
that.
I didn't know that either.
She was on the legendary Casablanca Records and Filmworks, which produced some of the greatest disco artists of all time.
Yeah. That girl's really nice looking.
Which one?
Oh, she's the hostess. She's my friend.
She's got a very attractive outfit. Like I like
the open back.
No, I like the sweater. Dresses.
Hey, excuse me. Tell her to come inside.
She'd love to. She asked me multiple times to go on the show.
We get on the show today.
No,
I don't want her to get in no trouble.
I don't want to trip though.
I don't think so. It's not going to happen.
I'm not Greg
because it's week 15. It's Friday, man.
Oh, okay,
Friday. We gotta look.
Everybody's only four teams playing in every league right now.
That's accurate.
I was actually trying to mathematically figure it out that 60% of the league is 66% of the league is no longer playing.
Yes,
that's in fact accurate. I think the best way to handle this, guys, is just to take a look. We'll go game by game, and I think we'll talk about what you're seeing, all the news from yesterday, kind of piled into one. And I think the best way to do that is just to go game by game here.
Scott. Oh, by the way,
here we go, about these damn tackles.
This is definitely not going to be accurate.
They said Sherman yelled at Bevel because he didn't like them throwing from the 1 yard line.
Okay, so that's Richard Sherman's job now is to be the offensive coordinator.
A lot of people were like saying the same thing on Twitter, especially fantasy players. Are like,
sure, but that's not Richard Sherman's job.
Rolls his owner.
They all remember the Super Bowl.
You're right.
That's a good point.
You're 100% right. Okay, let's start here tomorrow night. A little Saturday night football for you. There's no college football, so it could be some NFL. The Miami Dolphins are facing Scott's favorite team, the New York Football Jets.
There's a baseball Jets?
The King.
The Jets are at home facing the Dolphins team that will be led by Matty Moore tomorrow night. Tony, what are you looking for?
I'm looking for Bilal Powell in this game. Looks like Matt Forte will not play, and not confirmed, but that will be a guy I like in that contest. Matt Forte's a guy that gets it deep, so I think a lot of people are going to be looking at Kenny Stills and taking a shot with him in like DFS lineups. I don't think he'd go and make that in the playoffs, but I don't think Jay Ajayi has a big game. You're going to get Muhammad back, and that Jets defensive line will be back. I don't think Jay Ajayi's disappeared.
Yeah, he's going to be a disappointment here in Week 15. Scotty, what about you? What are you looking for here, perhaps from Matty Moore and the wide receivers in Miami?
Yeah, I wrote about this on the Associated Press yesterday. Like, the offense is not going to get totally bogged down with Matt Moore in there. When he started in 2011, I remember one game against Buffalo, he threw this beautiful 41-yarder to Brian Hartline, and it got intercepted on the next play on a mid-range pass. That's who Matt Moore is. And I think like he started like 12 games in 2011, and I think in like about six of them, I could be wrong, might be seven or five, he had passes of 30 or more yards. You know, he was constantly hitting deep balls, like 65 yarders to Brandon Marshall. So I think it might bode okay for Devontae Parker if you're in a deeper league. You know, Stills might still be relevant, although he's very boom or bust. And he didn't have a Jarvis Landry type back in 2011, so it might help him move the chains better. So I don't think this offense sinks, you know, with Matt Moore. Everybody assumes when you go to the backup quarterback that, you know, that there's going to be a constant drop-off. I don't think you see it, and I think Ajayi might finish off a drive with a touchdown.
Corey, doesn't it seem like everyone, and not just Scotty, but everyone sees Matt Moore, and they really kind of expect no drop-off, it sounds like, from Ryan Tannehill.
Well,
right?
Ryan Tannehill is not like, you know,
I understand that, but Matt Moore hasn't. I mean, hasn't started a game in what, 5 years here or something like that.
He's a different quarterback than Tannehill. Tannehill can throw the high percentage pass,
right?
And he's not the deep guy. Matt Moore is the opposite. Now, I'm not saying it's a better situation for the Dolphins in terms of winning. I'm just talking about in terms of moving the ball, because Matt Moore is going to throw interceptions on short mid range passes. It's going to hurt the Dolphins, but it's not going to hurt necessarily your fantasy team in terms of the offense being able to matriculate down the field.
I haven't seen one offense in the National Football League where a backup quarterback has come in
and everything stayed the same.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's going to stay the same. So I'm saying that they'll still be able to move the ball.
Well, you said we're not going to see much of a drop-off is what you said.
What I'm saying is I don't think the offense is going to get totally bogged down. There's a thought process is, you know, now this offense is going to sputter.
Yeah.
It's going to be easy for defenses to, you know, to start against them, start the Jets.
Yes.
You know, now all the receivers become irrelevant. I don't necessarily think so.
I don't know if they all become irrelevant, but I think if Matt Moore was good enough to be an NFL starter, given today's landscape, right, where like you see Josh McCown and Brian Hoyer playing for every team in the league, basically.
Yeah.
I think Matt Moore would have gotten that opportunity. I really do, because he's been a free agent a few times. He just re-signed in Miami. I'm a little more nervous, I think, than you are, Scotty, about Matt Moore coming in and the effect he's going to have on the receivers. I think we are going to see some of a drop-off. I think we are going to see some sputtering here of the offense. I recognize that he can't throw the deep ball, but we have seen Tannehill throw the deep ball to Kenny Stills in recent weeks. So I kind of disagree here in that I think the wide receivers are going to have their issues here this weekend.
I think if Moore's like he was in the past, I think you'll see more possible big play throws, but you'll probably see more turnovers too. You know, Matt Moore's a backup because he's an erratic NFL quarterback. What I'm saying is I don't think this offense is going to, you know, cough and, you know, go away and, you know, the team's not going to move the ball down the field. Jay Ajayi won't get scoring opportunities. I don't think that's going to happen. He's erratic, but he can move the team.
The weather could be an issue, too, Saturday night.
Oh, it's supposed to snow. Yeah. It's supposed to snow here in New York throughout the day on Saturday. Yeah. Absolutely. Oh. Matt Moore's first game back now in the snow?
Yeah, well, that certainly changes things for a lot of quarterbacks.
No question.
I mean, let's see what happens, you know, when you got Sunday with the Giants, you know, with Matthew Stafford.
Sure,
with that finger problem.
Absolutely.
In the cold.
Absolutely.
Snow on a Saturday night in New York. Well,
it's cold.
Yeah. That's good cuddling weather, Scotty. You think you and the queen will be cuddling up?
Scotty, a cuddler?
So. Huh?
What?
Are you a cuddler?
Yeah, would you like to?
Scott, you know what happens? I'm not a very good cuddler.
Really?
No. That's why he's divorced.
Yeah, no. What happens is, like, I get in the back and I get aroused. And
oh,
then
Yeah.
And it
that's
turns
like
into,
spooning. Yeah, yeah. And then go from cuddling.
That's dangerous.
And yeah. Something else. And,
yeah. I thought Tony wasn't a good cuddler, though, because, like, you know, he's like, he, like, just moves her a little bit away and starts saying, "So, do you think a bear really shuts in the woods?"
The Giants and the Lions play on Sunday. The other game here at MetLife, of course, weather an issue as well. Matthew Stafford's fingers, the guys just mentioned it.
Oh, yeah.
But Eli Manning's also been sputtering in a major way. And I've actually looked, being the Giants fan, I've looked at some images from the game tape, basically. And from what I'm understanding is Eli Manning just taking the short throws. What Tom Coughlin kind of did in this offense was, listen, I've had a vertical offense my entire career. You bring Ben McAdoo, West Coast guy. We're going to have elements of both. McAdoo's here. Everyone's wondering what's happened to the Giants' offense. And from what I've read, they've taken that vertical style away. And Eli Manning's just rushing to quickly get the ball out, Tony, that he's just throwing it very, very quickly, checking down, not giving his wide receivers a chance. Everyone keeps waiting for this offense to open up. It's week 15. Yeah. That's not happening.
Yep. No, you're 100% right. And that's exactly what's going on in this game. Now, I expect them to be okay in this contest because I just like that Detroit secondary has played good the last couple of weeks, but if you go and look at the entire season, they've had holes in there, and I could see Odell Beckham absolutely getting through. And if you look at the top wide receivers in football, you want to compare Antonio Brown, the Julio Jones, the Odell Beckham Juniors. I think Odell Beckham Jr. is the guy that's going to have the biggest day out of all those top flight wide receivers.
Oh, that's a big statement here. So he's the guy in DFS you're locking in.
I would absolutely lock in. I would pay up. For me, I'm going to pay up for Le'Veon Bell and David Johnson this weekend.
Both of them.
Yeah, but if there's going to be an opportunity for people to go with Farrow and people are going to go with Dixon.
Right.
And then I would get Odell Beckham Jr.
So okay. let me ask you this. The Giants, if they didn't have, let's just say, hypothetically, Odell Beckham was not a New York Giant.
Sure.
They'd be terrible.
Awful.
They would be
pitiful. They would be awful.
He's the best player on that team by far.
I'm not disagreeing with you.
Eli hasn't been good.
He's a bad year.
And then when I look at him, I don't blame it on him. And sometimes I wonder if I'm just being too kind to him. I look at that offensive line. They have problems. And so I think the 2-3-step drops and throwing the ball is a product of the poor offensive line.
Mm-hmm. So I think it's just the offensive line actually has played better than people have given it credit for. However, I think they're he is so nervous of getting hit. They're calling these, and maybe it's because they're calling the 2-step drops and throw. That's why it looks better, in all honesty.
He's a guy, just a couple years ago, that would go 7 steps back every time. He would take a beating every game.
Absolutely.
But he would come up with some big plays.
100%. And now they're not even stepping up. You're 100% right, Tony. What about from the Lions side of things, Scotty? We talked a lot about from the Giants and Odell Beckham. Matthew Stafford, you mentioned he's going to be limited with his finger, and the throws in the snow potentially are not going to be nearly as crisp as we expect. What is this going to do for Golden Tate? What is it going to do for Marvin Jones and the rest of this Lions offense?
With Golden Tate, you can throw him a screen. You can throw him something in the short area. And Golden Tate's game is run after the catch. It always has been. Theo Riddick's not looking good. That really hurts Matthew Stafford. He could really use Theo Riddick. This totally zaps Marvin Jones out of the picture to me.
Right.
I think it's Tate and it's Ebron. I think Bolden in the red zone if they get there. I think, you know, Tate could catch like 5-6 balls for like 50 yards and 60 yards to give you like an 11-12 point day. I don't think there's any real upside there. And plus, they're going against this Giants defense. It's not a good look for Detroit at all this week. There's no way I would be starting Dwayne Washington this week either.
I would hope not.
I would hope you can't do that week 15.
Just saying, Theo Riddick didn't practice both Wednesday and Thursday. Zach Zetter still in the concussion protocol.
Opportunity doesn't always lead to production. We've seen it all season from Washington.
Sometimes it does.
But it hasn't. We've seen the guy get opportunity and just be mediocre with it. I don't know where you're coming from with this, with all due respect, that, you know, this guy could suddenly turn it on in a tough matchup when he hasn't shown us anything this year.
Especially against a very good Giants.
Yeah, he's averaged well under 3 yards a carry this year.
Giants caught this team in a bad time with Matthew Stafford banged up and some more injuries going down. Should be a game that the Giants should be able to, especially at home, Giants should be able to get this one. So, Giants are a 4-point favorite in this game.
So it sounds like you like the Giants then, you're saying? Or you think Vegas knows?
The Giants at home at 4. I would rather it at 2-3, but
Nevertheless. All right. Let's take a break here. When we come back, we got a whole lot more games to go. We have another hour and a half with you, the Fantasy Best Friends Forever, come your way at 10 a.m. Eastern time. But when we come back, we're going to talk about the rest of the games on Sunday, including the Packers and the Bears, also potentially in the snow, the Jaguars and the Texans, but Browns and Bills, so much more. Stick around. This is the Roto Experts in the Morning. This is the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Going to unfortunately steal Florio's thunder today and be the host of these games.
Yeah.
Sorry. But what are you going to do?
Scott, what you doing with your fingers?
Playing the congas.
Playing the congas?
Yeah.
What's a congas?
The congas.
Oh, okay.
Conga drums.
Oh, okay. You do air guitar, congo drums.
Yeah.
The flute.
You have a flute?
Huh?
You have a flute?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's grande.
Miniature one, right?
No.
Yeah.
Grande. When you play the flute, do you put a reed in your mouth?
This guy's really, like, wacky when he gets no sleep. It's funny.
Why would you say that on the air, Scott?
Why would you say that on the air, Scott?
Scott, you weren't surprised that I knew what a reed was?
Why not? What if he told somebody I went to sleep last night?
No. Reed is
What if Tony told somebody, hey, I was in the room sleeping last night, and then you come on and say, yeah, you did. You're pretty wacky when you don't get no sleep.
I don't think Mike Cardano's issued a curfew to the host.
No, it's not. What if you never know who's listening. You know what I'm saying?
Mike has a strict
You're too gun shy. You're too scared of things.
It's not gun shy.
Yeah.
It's not gun shy, Scott. Let's just say I tell, you know.
Just because you're up to stuff that you shouldn't be up to, you know, so doesn't mean that Tony is.
Scott, I tell a young lady, I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm going to bed tonight. I'm going in, you know, I'm making a light early night. And then I'm out drinking, doing my thing. You know what I'm saying? And then I come to work and you get on the radio and say, yeah, so how was last night while you was up all night? You know, you can't do that, Scott.
Such Manny, remember we were in the...
Tony was out with Jake and everybody else. It's not like it's a secret.
And now you're name dropping who was out with Scott?
He's incriminating everyone. Such Manny, remember we were in the tent one day.
Yeah.
And Cardano basically said he didn't care if we were on drugs. Just do your job.
What are you doing? How you look? How drunk you are? It doesn't matter. Yeah.
Tony does like 19 hours of radio a day. You think Cardano's going to care if he like stayed out a little late last night?
No, we're not worried about Mike. Mike was, he might have known a few people that were there.
I think Corey's speaking from a guilty conscience.
No,
there.
I'm just saying.
I think he's hiding something there.
Packers and the Bears. We don't have that much time.
The Packers. Yeah, Packers.
Corey likes Packers.
What
is wrong with you today?
Like, some things don't use on air, Scott.
I don't know. You got me going like around 7 o'clock. It's just like Tony was telling these wild jokes like downstairs on the fourth floor. And I was just like cracking up. Like
the fourth floor?
Yeah.
Now they know where to find us, Scott. Yeah. Scott, give him the address and our exact location.
Yeah. 218 West 35th Street, 5th floor. Come see the studio.
No, actually, today, don't.
Yeah, no. We got a war zone and people might trip.
Yeah.
Come see us in all our glory. Packers and the Bears. Packers are favored by 5.5. Matt Barkley faces off against Aaron Rodgers, who Tony last night on Out of Bounds, Mike Cardano, the host, was wondering if we should bench Aaron Rodgers this week.
Yeah, that was the craziest thing.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. He was worried about the weather.
Worried about the weather with Aaron Rodgers. Yeah.
And his injury. Yeah. We do a lot of things on the Out of Bounds show, which you can hear right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network at 4 o'clock. And usually it's most of it is entertaining. I don't know what the hell he was thinking about last night. You don't sit Aaron Rodgers down. The one key in this game is going to be seeing at the running back. Mm-hmm. Starks was in concussion protocol. If he's out of this game, Montgomery don't have anyone to compete in this one.
Well, but over the last couple of weeks, James Starks has kind of been phased out. No, Montgomery stepped forward with Christian Michael as a backup?
Right, but if we get all the carries to him, and Michael's carries have been in like mop-up duty.
Sure.
They haven't been right there.
Or like he needs a break or whatever.
Yeah. I think Montgomery is a guy that a lot of people are not playing, especially when we're in the playoffs.
Right.
I think he's going to come up big in this game.
I agree. I like Ty Montgomery. I liked him last week. I told you guys. I brought this up and kind of pushed it. I like Ty Montgomery's guy.
The problem is, and you guys make good points, he had some very physical runs last week.
Scored a touchdown.
Very impressive.
Yep.
The problem is, and we knew this when Eddie Lacy was around, the Packers don't hand the ball off enough. That's the problem. You know, if you're playing a wide receiver, you'll get some nice running back carries, but... That's a little bit frustrating. And to go to the other point about what you guys were talking about, Out of Bounds, I'm getting these questions, you know, on Twitter and the Roto Experts email advice, and I'm going, you know, you guys, paralysis by analysis. Like, I got to wake myself up. Like, is this reality here? People are asking me, should I sit Jordy Nelson? I'm worried about him in the cold. I'm like, should I sit Aaron Rodgers? I'm worried about him in the cold. I'm like, the Packers don't play in Tampa Bay. It's Green Bay. Oh, my God. Unless the wind is over 15 miles an hour, what are you freaking out about? I don't get it. This is like people took too much pressure on themselves. They've overanalyzed in the fantasy playoffs. It's just like Aaron Rodgers in the cold last week had a great game even after he injured his calf. We've seen Rodgers play well through injuries in the past. Let's just stop the madness.
Scott's talking about all this coldness, right? And then about Ty Montgomery, if it's snowing, right? If it's just freezing, maybe there will go more short passes and help Ty Montgomery.
And that's what I'm thinking, too. The over-under in this game is 39.
See, I don't see, that's the thing with Montgomery, though. And it makes all the sense in the world,
right,
from like, you know, a basic football strategic perspective. But in terms of where he is in the passing game, in terms of the pecking order, he's kind of far down the order there. You would think, I would thought you were going to say, the weather's not good, they're going to hand the ball to Montgomery. I think there's a situation we get into as fantasy players, we want to see a guy get more touches,
right,
and to us it makes sense, but I just don't think it's going to happen with Green Bay.
So what's their game plan this week then, Scotty?
What is it every week? Throw, 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 throw.
Not necessarily wrong.
That's what they do.
Not wrong.
Yeah.
What about on the other side? The returning Corey Alshon Jeffrey from suspension. He's been working after practice with Matt Barkley because Matt Barkley said this week he had never thrown a pass in his life to Alshon Jeffrey during practice.
Well, he's in a good spot, so it's good to see that the two of them are getting some work. Comes back. And one thing you like about the suspension is you know he's coming back
healthy,
the healthiest he's been probably in the past two seasons. So you get a fully healthy Alshon Jeffrey this week, obviously the top target in that offense, team that are likely playing from behind. I'd say I would, in the PPR, I think he can score between 16 and 19 fantasy points this week.
Really? Here's mm-hmm. the thing with this offense.
Is that you think that's overshooting it, Tony? You think overshot
that offense, right? Barkley's been ineffective except that first game. There, he's had low 200s. Alshon Jeffrey, if you go back and look, even with Jay Cutler, whoever the quarterback is, I bet there ain't four games where he has 16 and 19 fantasy points.
I would consider Jeffrey as a flex option because it's something you talked about how much Matt Barkley's throwing the ball. In two of his three starts.
Not one game.
Two of his three starts, he threw the ball over 50 times and well over 30 times. So there's going to be volume there. And he's made more than one receiver fantasy relevant in the last few weeks. So I would consider him as a wide receiver three or as a flex. I think you lower your expectations, but he's definitely viable to start a wide receiver three or flex.
I'll tell you what, it's crazy. I can't even I don't have him on a team. But to think about him coming back, you have to play him. But I just don't like the matchup here. When you look at that, someone you've had to make it this far the last 4 weeks has been in your lineup.
Sure.
So it'd be hard for me to go and replace.
But you also could have lost Melvin Gordon, perhaps, and you got to readjust. Yeah. Stuff like that has happened, obviously. So
it could be without Julio Jones.
Yeah.
And maybe you have Alshon Jeffrey. You
it's
know,
possible.
That's,
sure.
You know, that's a logical move there. And I know where Tony's going with this because we're getting some big name players coming back late in the season. Alshon Jeffrey, Adrian Peterson. What do we do with these guys? But with AJ Green, we're just like, okay, we'll pop him back in if he's healthy. You know,
well, that's if he's healthy, right?
Yeah.
So let's talk about Cincinnati and Pittsburgh here for a moment. AJ Green could return this week. We'll see. The Steelers and the Bengals, a bit of rivalry. You've been talking about it all week, Corey. Now, these two teams just don't like each other. These two teams have this hatred. Vontaze Burfict is probably either going to get a personal foul on himself, or they're going to the Steelers at personal fouls for taking out Vontaze Burfict. Like, something's going to happen here in this game.
They'll be mixing it up this week. Good, hardcore AFC North football. Be interesting to see how the game plays out as far as the fantasy aspect of it. Got to be in love with Le'Veon Bell, obviously, the way he's been running the ball recently, and you can get some action versus the Cincinnati Bengals. Not to mention the fact Antonio Brown and the boys, the Pittsburgh Steelers guys, you know they start them. They do their thing. I think the interesting thing right here is Ben Roethlisberger and how you feel about Ben Roethlisberger with those home-road splits. And this week, here you are in Week 15. What are you doing without Roethlisberger, Greg?
I agree. I totally agree with you. You're in Cincinnati this week. Le'Veon Bell will get his. Antonio Brown will get his. But Ben Roethlisberger, we've said it all week. This is like the one we're all agreed on with Joe Flacco, right? Like we all agreed to start Joe Flacco over Big Ben here this week. And I think it's a big spot for Roethlisberger, who has really struggled on the road in recent years away from Heinz Field. Cincinnati is not an easy spot for him. Despite Cincinnati struggles this year, this is not an easy game for the Steelers and for Ben Roethlisberger, Tony.
I look at this game, and what we've seen the last 2 weeks is Le'Veon Bell take over in the Steelers' offense. And you look at Big Ben in these contests. He had 17 completions in the last game on 31 attempts, 24 for 36 in the game before that. I'm looking at not big numbers. He had 20 passes in the game prior to that. They're going to a running game in this cold weather environment, and Le'Veon Bell hasn't disappointed here. I think it's going to be a tough game, but the other thing is we're not sitting here talking about who's the Pittsburgh Steelers' third wide receiver anymore. We're not worried about Eli Rogers. We're not worried about Sammy Coates. It's all about Ladarius Green now.
And that's a good point because the Bengals allow the fourth most points to fantasy tight ends right now at 10.4 per game. I'm very much in on Jeremy Hill this week.
Okay.
The Steelers allow the fifth most points to running backs right now.
Would you play him in DFS?
I'm strongly considering it. He's catching passes out of the backfield, etc. To me, this is a Jeremy Hill game. Strategically, too, you want to try to control the clock, time of possession. It makes all the sense in the world with Jeremy Hill.
The Jacksonville Jaguars head to Houston to face off against the Texans. The Houston Texans, I believe, are one win away from clinching this, or one or two wins away now from clinching this division.
This is not pretty.
No. No, it's not. The Brockett ship, Brock Osweiler, trying to win the AFC South there.
I guess it's what they brought him there for.
Well, they did it last year without him.
Yep.
Sick game, guys.
I'm trying to
see. Allen Robinson, DeAndre Hopkins, two guys have just been for you all year long.
Well, here's the thing. If you have these guys, these two first-round wide receivers, are you playing in Week 15?
I think you've been mentioning them for the last couple of weeks. No.
I am actually considering something that you guys might consider wacky.
I'm in a 14-team league, and I've been playing Allen Robinson every week.
Really?
Okay.
Now, this week is the first week I think he's going out because of Tyreek Hill. He's going to...
We probably should start Tyreek Hill over him for the last few weeks.
I've actually had other guys with injuries to running backs and stuff flex, but this week I have everybody healthy.
And now Robinson's going to the bench.
And Robinson's going to be the guy on the bench. I have T.Y. Hilton. Right. I have Allen Robinson. Right. I have Mike Wallace and DeSean Jackson.
And Tyreek Hill.
So Allen Robinson's the guy out, and it's crazy. He was my first pick.
Right.
Yep.
I got a game this week where I got Pierre Garçon.
Sure.
Jarvis Landry. Mm-hmm. Adam Thielen. Mike Wallace. I need a fifth. I'm considering starting Justin Hardy over Allen Robinson if Julio Jones is not playing.
Come on.
He's playing the 49ers.
So what? How many catches does Justin Hardy have on the year?
He scored last week.
He did score last week.
Yeah.
But he had that.
So we're chasing touchdowns now?
I was going to say, was his only touchdown? Was that his only catch?
I don't think so. I'll look it up.
You're not actually considering that, right, Scotty?
No, he's dead serious. That's what he said. He told it to me yesterday.
You really need to start Justin Hardy.
Yep.
Over Allen Robinson.
Yep.
He's got 16 catches on the year. Couple touchdowns here.
Well, I'm not looking at the cumulative stats. It's a one-game kind of thing.
So last week against L.A., he had two catches for 9 yards.
Two.
And that's who you're going to start over Allen Robinson.
They scored 40-something points last week.
47 points. He had two catches for 9 yards.
He had two for 26, but, you know.
No, but he didn't. He had two for nine. He had two for 26 on Monday on the 9/26 against the Saints. Last week against the Rams, he had two for nine. Two catches for 9 yards, and you're going to start him over Allen Robinson. Come on, Scott.
September.
You know what that's called? That's called paralysis by overanalysis.
Yeah, I probably shouldn't do that.
Scott, were you a Hardy Boys fan growing up?
Why?
Justin Hardy. You started Justin Hardy.
Because it's a mystery why I'm doing this? Is that what you're saying?
It's a mystery why your head's so big.
Because I have a large brain.
I heard that joke twice now.
Yeah. Well, because he said it twice.
I agree.
Yeah.
I played him, not you.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a break here. We'll
focused
come back.
On your head. He's
staring at it. I think you want to rub it?
No, I don't.
Do you want to rub it, honey?
I don't want to rub
Stop
it.
Stop this. Let's go. Yeah. Let's take a break.
Come here, Sugar
Cleveland,
Bear.
Baltimore and Philly, KC and the Titans. That's up next here on the Roto Experts. Roto Experts in the morning here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Greg Sussman, Tony Cicada, Scott Angle, Corey Parson, all in studio with you. Tony, it's been a pleasure hanging out with you.
Oh, it's been good. It's been cold, though, in New York.
Oh, yeah, you're in New York.
You don't have a real winter jacket either.
I keep my hands warm.
Because they're in his pockets, guys. Like, what is wrong with you guys?
Pocket bingo.
I don't even get that joke.
I don't worry about it, Greg.
Cleveland is in Buffalo, where it's also going to be cold here this week. The Buffalo Bills. No one circles the wagons like them. Corey, what do you say?
Oh boy.
Yes, no one circles the wagons.
Come on, please.
Like
I got a big brain.
At least what I say is original, though. Copy Chris Berman?
Is that original?
Yes.
Let the bars be accurate, yours?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
And that's yours, Scott?
Yeah. Corey?
You trademark let the balls be accurate?
Yep.
You should.
Get out of here.
Buffalo Bills, 10-point home favorite in this competition right here, fellas. I like Shady McCoy a lot in this game. I think you give the ball to football to Shady, pound the rock with Shady. This would be this is week 15, LeSean McCoy. This is his good week that he normally goes off when he's healthy, when he takes his owners to the championship game. So if you're a LeSean McCoy owner, you got to feel very good about it. I told you guys earlier this week, my guy that does his statistical thing and emails me his rankings, not an analyst, not anybody in the industry, he has Sammy Watkins as his number one wide receiver this week.
The one thing I will throw out there is they're expecting heavy fog and about 15-mile-an-hour winds. You know, but this is Friday, so you know, let's see what happens Sunday. Cleveland's like so bad against just about everything when you look at fantasy points against. Of course, you like the running backs. Maybe if you're desperate, you know, you lost Melvin Gordon, you can consider Gillislee, although it's not ideal. You just never know with game flow. The big thing with this is, of course, I like Watkins if the conditions are right. But the big thing is everybody like talking about, you know, maybe losing a tight end here or something like that. Charles Clay.
He's not going to show up.
Charles Clay is like, everybody's like, should I use him? Because the Browns are so bad on tight ends. And I'm like, it's like the matchup looks good, but Clay's really only shown up 1 week. How much can I really trust that?
But he's not going to.
Yeah.
He's not going to. I can almost guarantee you put him in your lineup, you're looking at 2 points.
Sammy Watkins is the key in this game, right? If you have the off weather and you have a guy that's been, you know, playing, he's been playing well, and he has the foot injury, how far are you going to go with Sammy Watkins?
Would you put him in the DFS lineup, Tony?
No.
I wouldn't either.
I look at Tyrod Taylor, and I think he has a decent matchup, and I think he can get you 17 fantasy points this week, and he's pretty cheap. But there's no way I'm putting a wide receiver in in that. I would put Tyrod Taylor in by himself.
Yeah, play him naked.
Philadelphia and Baltimore, the Ravens are at home here for this one. Everyone,
we didn't even talk about Cleveland, I guess.
Ravens and the Eagles here. Scotty, everyone's loving Kenneth Dixon after last week. Kenneth Dixon is a name we've talked about more for Baltimore than any other name on the Ravens. What do you think Kenneth Dixon does this week against Philadelphia?
I think he's a nice flex. I think Terrence West might still be the goal line guy, but I think there's something of a floor there in PPR, number one. Number two, over the last 4 weeks, the Eagles have allowed like well over 30 points to opposing wide receivers. So, you know, you got to consider Wallace, you know, for sure. You know, we've all been saying that we like Flacco, et cetera. So, you know, that's something certainly to consider when you're looking at the Baltimore side of the ball. On the other side, it's really hard to have any confidence in any of the Philadelphia weaponry other than Zach Ertz.
Weaponry.
This is a crazy game because a lot of people, of course, are on Joe Flacco as well. We talk about all the quarterback matchups this week. Mike Wallace is a guy that's in play. But the Baltimore Ravens haven't been a consistent source of fantasy numbers. And then you look at the Philadelphia Eagles. They were great defense early in the season. The defensive backs, though, have always let up some big plays throughout the season. Mm-hmm. And it suits up perfectly for a Mike Wallace game.
Yeah, but Steve Smith, it makes you more wonder, Tony. It's like, the opportunity is there, but can he capitalize on it? It's like, I feel like Dennis Pitt is going to have a nice PPR day.
Yeah, he's not going to score no touchdown, though. Benny yesterday was saying that this would be a good week in DFS to go to Terrence West because of the game script from last week where they were playing from behind. That's why you saw so much work go to Dixon with a game that could be closer this week. Don't be surprised if Terrence West is the guy that gets the touches.
With that being said, who would you rather start this week, Kenneth Dixon or Ryan Matthews?
Kenneth Dixon.
Because you know Ryan Dixon. Matthews is the guy.
Yeah, but I think I'd rather start Dixon, the upside.
I feel like maybe Barner could catch passes out of the backfield where Dixon's going to be the receiver guy out of the backfield for Baltimore.
I think you got to go Dixon just because you expect more of an offensive input there. I look at Ryan Matthews. He'd be going against the number one run defense in the league with that game.
Yes, he will be. Okay. The next game up here. I just lost the schedule. There we go.
No, don't lose it.
I got it. The Titans and the Chiefs. I said that earlier. Chiefs and the Titans in KC. Kansas City rolling along to the playoffs here. One of the hotter teams in the NFL. Facing off against my guy, Marcus Mariota, your guy, Corey Rashard Matthews, and the Titans. What do you like about Rashard Matthews this week? You getting him in the lineup.
Getting him back into my lineup this week after a week off last week versus Denver. He rolls back out into the lineup, sitting Willie Snead to get Rashard Matthews in the lineup. I expect him to do what he does. I expect him to get down the field, score a touchdown. You can get behind the Kansas City Chiefs defensively. The particulars are the same for both of these teams. And of course, when you look at the Kansas City side of the football, it is Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill, and I would be sitting Jeremy Maclin if I was a Jeremy Maclin.
Absolutely. What's interesting about this game is that Tennessee allows the third most fantasy points to wide receivers, and Kansas City fourth. So you remember that when you're looking at the wide receivers in this game. You know, Matthews, Tyreek Hill's top eight to me in PPR this week. You know, the guy has certainly come through. I think Kelce has another good game as well. Delanie Walker, etc.
I give Corey a lot of credit for the Willie Snead sitting him down.
Okay.
That one.
That's a bold move right there.
Yeah, I think it's a bold move. I think it's the right move, too. I think Rashad Matthews is a guy. We talk about this Kansas City defense. It's not what it used to be, and they let up some big plays. Rashad Matthews has been a big play guy. But the problem is he doesn't catch a lot of balls.
All right, when we come back, we got a whole lot more to talk about. Stick around. The Roto Experts in the Morning rolls on for hour number two. Coming up next.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts in the Morning is on now.
This is our number two of the Roto Experts. Go one more with you to the Fantasy Best Friends Forever, 10 a.m. Eastern Time. Tony Scotty in studio, Scott Engel in studio, Corey Parson here as well. I'm Greg Sussman, you. One more hour with you, Corey. Before the break, you wanted to make a point about Spencer Ware.
Yeah, I don't know if people say he's one of the guys that got you there. I don't know if you could say you always got to start your studs. I have no problem, depending upon your situation, benching a underperforming Spencer Ware. You know I'm doing it for Kenneth Farrow this week. We've been talking about this since the beginning of the week. Not impressed with Spencer Ware. I don't think he's a must start.
I agree with you. I think that it's gone long enough. You know, say don't, you know, start your studs. I think he's past that. We've seen this 5-6 weeks now. The Farrow thing's interesting, though, off the waiver wire. I think a lot of people talk about the Ronnie Hillman situation, which I don't even think is going to come into play. I think they're going to see what this kid has. He's going to get a lot of opportunity here. I think it's an interesting play. I think I would do the same thing.
Yeah, why not see what the kid can do? Because, you know, you're not playing for anything except to spoil the other team. As far as Ware goes and start your studs, you got to earn the stud title over time. You know,
exactly,
like a 5-week run at
the beginning of the season.
At the beginning of the season doesn't earn it for you when it comes to fantasy football.
Do you think he earned that title during Scotty Love days?
Hey, you think we'll ever get to the point in fantasy football where, or in the NFL, and mainly because of fantasy, where Dan Quinn, you know what, Julio wasn't able to go Wednesday or Thursday. We're going to try to push him on Friday. We know it's week 15, guys out there in their fantasy semifinals. We're going to try to get Julio Jones on the field this week.
Dan Quinn's got Julio in fantasy.
You think we'll ever get to the point where a head coach would make a reference like that?
I will say, though, very early on in the other platform, we had Sean Payton on.
Yeah.
And he talked about he loves fantasy football. He respects it. And when people talk to him about fantasy, you know, he doesn't blow them off.
Let's continue on.
No credence to that, Greg. You don't think Dan Quinn ever comes to the press conference and be like, we know it's week 15 semifinals.
No.
We're going to try to get Julio Jones some reps.
I'm not.
Okay.
No. player this week? I mentioned on the, I'm trying to remember what it said. I'm happy for all the fantasy people that I helped this week.
Who said
that? I'm trying to remember. There was a running back who had a big game. Damn.
Hopefully it was either Frank Gore or Jerry McKinnon, because we're talking about the Colts and the Vikings up next year. How about that? Vikings, four-point favorites here over the Colts, who somehow still employ both Ryan Grigson and Chuck Pagano.
Yeah. So, here you go. T.Y. I mean, every wide receiver they have is banged up, but we continue to see Hilton get it done 100% of the time. Frank Gore, one of the guys that helped get you here. You kind of got to start him, I think, at this point. He's in that RB2 range this week. Hopefully he can fall in the end zone. On the Vikings side of the football, you're going to hear people tell you that this is a good week, going to be a good week for Jerick McKinnon. I'd be very careful with playing McKinnon, especially in the season-long league. You've seen how he's been more or less a bum the majority of the season. As far as DFS, I would also be careful with McKinnon this week going up against the Colts, who you can run on them, but I don't think McKinnon is that good. As far as the Vikings go, I think you can confidently start both Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen. Did I say that right, Greg?
You did, yes. For the first time.
And Adam Thielen this week.
I own Frank Gore. I've used him every week. I am not using him.
Sitting him this week.
Here we go.
Who are you sitting him for, Tony?
Jonathan Stewart against the Redskins on Monday Night Football. Now, Stu is a guy that you never sleep well putting him in your life.
No. You don't do the John Hanson sleep like a baby.
No.
This is going to be a low-scoring game, I think. You know, we heard what the Indianapolis game, Minnesota. You know, we heard what Dr. A said yesterday. Kind of gives me a little bit pause about the passing game. Although I'm not benching T.Y. Hilton, you know, in a fantasy playoff game like this. You know, Moncrief's probably not going to play. I hear what Tony says about Gore on the other side. It's a case of where the matchup is good, but can the player take advantage of the matchup? Sometimes when people say, oh, he's got a great matchup, McKinnon, but can McKinnon take advantage of that offensive line? Look, they have real problems up front in the linebacker in Indianapolis, but they got real problems in Minnesota. Which problem is going to manifest itself more? I feel like you can't take the chance.
You feel like this would be a...
Unless it's a deeper league.
A low-scoring game. The over-under on this game is 45, but over-under on Bears-Packers is 39.
Yeah. Greg, you ever get uncomfortable hosting the show?
Oh. Do I ever get uncomfortable?
Yeah.
At times, it does go into uncomfortable waters, yeah.
One of the most uncomfortable times that I ever hosted the show, and Corey was there, is when Scott put out the phrase, that's a white people's problem. And then he decided to say it again. And I'm hosting the show, and I'm like, he didn't think, like, he said it again. Like, he repeated it. And I was like,
yeah, it's a Louis C.K. bit. Yeah.
Why are we bringing this up now?
I see what Tony did know now. Yeah. He said, did you ever feel uncomfortable hosting the show?
So
he said
so
to you.
If you didn't, so you if do you now.
You do right now.
My answer was yes, though.
Yeah. I was just wanting to show.
And he wanted to
misery.
See an example because look of bewilderment on your face right now.
I'm just trying to get through the
game. I don't
game,
know where man. That came from,
it's
but then again, 15, this is Tony.
Semifinals are happening, and we're talking about white people problems.
this is Tony, though.
Yeah.
This is Tony, though.
I was just thinking about...
See, if Tony didn't work in fantasy, like, he could be working for NBC News, you know,
no,
like,
I don't
some
think so.
major story would break. He'd be in the, they'd be in the middle of, like, discussing, like, a major story, and he would come out with you know, something way out of left field.
The Saints and the Cardinals play in Arizona here. Corey's benching Willie Snead. The conversation all week long has been about Drew Brees. Scott, this is it. It's Friday now. I want you to make your decision for the listeners. Are you still officially done and done benching Drew Brees for Joe Flacco?
Yeah, I wouldn't change my mind just because it's a few days later.
Well, sometimes you do.
Yeah, I mean.
What do you
not on this. Nothing in the reasoning has
You've
changed.
You've always said fantasy analysts have reserved the right to change their mind.
Always said that. It's one of your camp
Nothing's
lines.
Absolute.
Nothing's true. Absolute. Nothing,
nothing's absolute.
We just making sure.
I'm very firm on this one.
Very
I have
firm.
Not changed
oh,
my
firm.
Rankings.
Huh?
Yeah,
I've Michael last night.
Stop. Michael Floyd.
Would you like to find out?
No.
Why did you do this? Michael Floyd.
I'm sorry, Greg.
Because Cardano was saying that he was So,
Chris is fine.
You know, the Arizona Cardinals. J.J. Nelson is going to be the starter. Talk here late in the week. Can we start against the Saints? J.J. Nelson.
Yeah,
Tony.
Absolutely. I think it's a good DFS play, too, as well as a season-long play. There's not many guys that I would go to the waiver wire and put in my lineup this week when you're in this far in the playoffs, but I did go in the two playoff leagues that I'm in and try to find him, and he wasn't on the waiver wires.
All right, Corey, you feel comfortable starting him?
Not really, but I can definitely see... What? Someone
why not,
doing
why
it.
Why not against the Saints? See, I think the Saints.
I don't trust.
The last 4 weeks, they've played well, the defense.
Yeah, they have.
If you just look at the bodies on it, like I say, there's not a single Pro Bowler. Their top cornerback is probably going to be out in this game. And I look at J.J. Nelson and Carson Palmer actually having a decent week this week.
I can get
yeah,
by.
Arizona's at home. These are two teams that are playing for nothing, but I feel like Arizona will be the better football team. You know, they're going to have some problems in the slot against Fitzgerald. Maybe that opens things up for Nelson. John Brown has not been able to stay healthy. Those are the two guys he's got to throw to. He's also got Gresham as well. Michael Thomas was able to get in a limited practice. Mark Ingram was able to get in a limited practice as well. But, you know, you don't trust that running game. And here's a problem with New Orleans, too. You haven't been able to depend on a running game. Defense has been able to pin their ears back and come after Brees, too.
So, they got a team total of 27. So yeah, I think I am comfortable putting Nelson out there.
Okay.
Would you play him over Snead?
Yes. If Michael Thomas comes back this week as expected, yes, I will.
Yeah, that's the key. If Michael Thomas is there, he's the third wide receiver. You're going to have not a deep rotation with Arizona with the John Brown situation. See how that plays out. They could only have two wide receivers in that matchup.
That's right.
Arizona's the second best team against running backs this season, too. So
watch out for
that. Like I was saying, you know, they don't have much of a running game in New Orleans right now. I think Breeze is going to be under some heavy pressure this week.
The Atlanta Falcons are at home facing off against the San Francisco 49ers this week. Scott really likes Justin Hardy.
Not after you guys talk me out of it.
Yeah, nothing's absolute. Hey,
Greg, you see how he's looking at you? He's going to come back at you sometime before 10. Before
he does.
10, before
he likes
10
Justin Hardy.
Eastern
you do.
Time. No, but
he brought that up.
But he looked at you just now, like, okay,
Greg,
okay.
You talked me out of it.
Good. I don't want you to lose your playoff match because you started Justin Hardy.
He just looked at you.
You're welcome.
Now I'm looking at him like, this guy's my friend.
I am your friend.
Okay, my bad.
But you know what, though? Friends, like, have fun with each other.
Absolutely.
Go with each other.
Speaking of friends, let me ask you.
Nope. Tevin Coleman. Devontae Freeman let a lot of people down last week.
Hot water burn, baby.
He let a lot of people down last week. He's not going to change this week, Corey.
I think I'm worried about Tevin Coleman. I'm worried about, if I'm a Freeman owner, I'm legit worried about Tevin Coleman because Coleman's the fresher guy. I've just spent time getting banged up.
Can't you play both?
These are the 49ers. You can play both.
That's true, too. You can play both, but.
You could play Terran Ward probably too.
But you could you would have said the same thing last week when they were going against the Rams.
I did.
You're 100% right. But it didn't work out, is what he's saying.
No, exactly.
Here's what I was thinking. Tonight's the Christmas party and we're all going there.
Yeah.
If there was a cross dresser at the bar and Scott was going home with the cross dresser, would you let him know it wasn't a woman?
So I tried to get past this.
Yeah, well it was Greg.
Okay. Tony, stop. Stop. All right? Tony, I'm married. Why am I going to go home with another woman?
Hypothetical.
Yeah. I don't know. See, here's the thing. You let him go, or you tell him, hey, Scott, be careful. You know what I'm saying? I think somebody would, but I would probably be like, well, let's see if we could tape it.
I don't get this whole line of questioning, and here's why. Here's why.
You're a married man.
First off, I'm a married man. You're the one that's been divorced for a while. I got to look out for you going home with a cross-dresser.
What I'm saying is, would you give a guy a heads up?
No.
Guys recognize that, though?
No, but you... I don't think it's 100%. I don't think it's 100% recognized.
What does this have to do with the 49ers?
The Patriots play the Broncos in Denver here this week. Pats and the Broncos. Not as good as the old Manning-Brady rivalries here. But,
no,
you know, Michael Floyd, now a member of the New England Patriots, claimed by the Pats last week...
Oh, by the way, I'm sorry. I don't mean to interrupt you, but
you do. Though.
But this is serious. Okay. Though. This is not about cross dressers.
It's not about cross dressers.
What do we think of Carlos Hyde this week?
Okay, fine. That's a good.
You know, especially in DFS.
Yeah, great question.
Oh, I think a lot. I think he actually could go back.
I like Carlos Hyde.
200-yard games.
I like Carlos Hyde this week in real life. And season long, you put him out there, and absolutely.
When you said real life, I didn't know what you were talking about. Based on our last conversation.
Yeah. If Greg was going to go home with Carlos Hyde.
Wait a minute. I need a bell. Because you know what this is? I just realized it.
It's Jumpin' Jack Day.
No. Forget that. Better. So the Patriots play the Broncos this week. You know what that means?
What's that?
Bring him again. This is the AJ Derby revenge game.
Oh. Revenge game.
You know what?
Yeah.
We give Scott a lot of crap on the show, but... That AJ Derby thing is
terrible.
No, he hasn't.
That's terrible.
He'll score more fantasy points than that bum Dwayne Washington probably.
Yeah,
that's interesting.
Yeah.
He might actually.
Yeah.
I'll take Dwayne Washington. Obviously, you can take AJ Derby.
Simeon Key's throwing 50 times a game.
That's what I was going to talk about. The Bronco wide receiver is a nice place this week.
I agree. Malcolm Butler's got a hip injury that he's dealing with.
Right.
For the Patriots too. I expect him to play.
Tony, you're a Patriots fan. Is Michael Floyd going to make a difference before the end of the season? Nope. Not in fantasy, in real life.
Yeah, no.
Okay.
I don't think we've seen Ochocinco go there, and that was a big splash, and he never got on the field.
Yeah. But he was 38 years old, though.
Oh, he's not 38 now, Scott.
Yeah. I'm exaggerating, but he was like the at the end of the line. Yeah.
The problem is he couldn't learn the playbook.
Yeah.
It's true.
You don't think Floyd can learn the playbook?
I don't know.
He went to Notre Dame.
What are we doing? What are we doing about the wide receivers in New England this week against Denver? And Malcolm Mitchell's been super hot. Obviously, you're going to have to start Julian Edelman, I think.
He's the only one I would start.
I agree. I don't think you can start Hogan or Mitchell this week.
Here's something that, you know, I talked about it the other day, is that Denver might be without both of their starting linebackers. What that means is Blunt. And it also means throwing the running backs tight ends.
Okay.
So I think I think that's where you're going to be seeing them attacking.
Can people stop with Dixon? I mean, the whole New England running back situation. James White last week got most of the catches in that backfield.
Deion Lewis.
Can we stop with him? I mean, he's just, I don't know if he's not healthy or what, but he's never going to get a major role in that.
No, James White, this is James White's role, and I think he's going to play this week.
People have a hard time letting go of something.
I agree.
Did well for them in the past. And, you know, it's like Corey cannot break up with Sammy Watkins.
Right.
You know?
You're right. You're absolutely right.
If I told you guys that I was starting two Patriots this week, would you think that was a positive?
It depends on who they are.
Chris Hogan and Martellus Bennett.
I wouldn't start Hogan.
I knew one of them was going to be Bennett. I didn't expect Hogan, but to tell you the truth, I could see Hogan and Butler, but they're going to be a one shot, try to get it deep. I don't see him catching a lot of passes.
Yeah.
I don't love Chris Hogan start this
week. One thing about this game, though, and we talk about how much Simeon threw, this is a young quarterback going against Bill Belichick and Dean Pease, okay? And I think it's going to be very problematic for that Denver offense. You know, they don't have much of a running game. You like Demaryius Thomas, you like Emmanuel Sanders matchup-wise, but I really feel like coaching-wise, this is a bad spot for Denver
New England,
offensively.
3-point road favorite against the defending champs in this one. I think that's interesting what they're saying. Vegas is saying with that line right there. It's Devontae Booker. Just everybody started shaking their heads.
No, not starting him.
No.
I don't think you can do it.
Hey, raise your hand if you're starting Devontae Booker.
There's no hands raised in the studio.
Not a single hand raised in the studio.
The Oakland Raiders are in San Diego here this week. It's face off against the Chargers. I believe it was you, Corey, that told me if Oakland wins, they clinch.
Yeah, I believe that is the case. If Oakland wins, they go ahead and clinch. They wrap it up. 49.5 is the total on this one. Oakland is a 3-point favorite. San Diego Chargers. To tell you what, I'm really glad that I have Latavius Murray on a couple teams right now. I think he's going to be a nice piece in this game, a nice factor. Definitely should be hit that RB1 numbers this week. The wide receivers.
That's a good point. San Diego allows 20.2 points to opposing running backs.
Yeah, and he's got that job now. It's all Jalen Richard and all these other characters. It's Latavius Murray. Get it going. The passing game of Oakland scares me a little bit with Carr with this finger injury. And we've seen a lack of production really from the wide receivers the past couple weeks. And on the other side of the football, Greg is our guy, Kenneth Farrell, rocking and rolling this week, a Week 15 savior.
It's not really our
Oakland
guy.
Allows
my
the fourth most
though.
Fantasy points to running backs, 21 a game.
My guy, though, I'm going to keep starting him as I have if I was still playing. Dontrell Inman, man. I'm going to keep throwing him out there.
That's my guy, too.
Yeah, I have him in the lineup this week also, Dontrell Inman. It's been a nice addition.
He's been good.
When the other guys got banged up, he did a nice job of stepping forward.
He's had he's a better season than Travis Benjamin.
Yeah,
he's absolutely a better season than Travis Benjamin. I don't think there's any question about that.
Benjamin was kind of boom or bust before he injured his knee.
One final game here for you. Sunday Night Football. Tampa Bay Buccaneers face America's team.
Nah.
Dallas Cowboys.
America. Gotta like America in this one.
I think it's going to be a low-scoring game.
Me too.
Me three. I don't want anything to do with Jameis Winston this week.
Get out your Dan Bailey. And, of course, Ezekiel Elliott.
Killed me last week, Dan.
I'll come in. But the Mike Evans situation, he's had a couple of rough games in a row. Of course, everybody's going to use him. I'm not going to be throwing him out there in DFS, though. No. You have the Dallas Cowboys. They run the ball. They control the clock. And Evans has been struggling. And eventually, when in the NFL and you only have one target out there, somebody's going to pay attention to him. Before, Jameis Winston was just throwing to him every time. I'm interested to see the running back, too. Doug Martin, last week, he got all the carries, but he averaged, again, under 3 yards a carry. Yeah.
Will they work in Charles Sims more? Will they work in Jaquizz Rogers more? Obviously, we'll see.
It's not a lot to like offensively in this game.
No. I think Dak.
I'm not doing that. Tampa Bay defense has been much better.
No.
I'm not doing it.
Interesting week in Dallas with people kind of coming down on Dak a little
bit. To be honest with you, there wasn't as much Tony Romo talk as I thought there was going to be.
Well, you know, Jerry started it. because Jerry's trying to figure out a way
to
play
him. But I thought
that
would be the only topic we talked about, and it wasn't.
But Troy Aikman kind of put the threw water on it. Like, Troy Aikman came out, he had some comments, and after Troy Aikman said what he said, Jerry kind of changed his tone, too. So I think, you know.
What exactly did Troy say?
Troy was like, you know, you got to ride with the kid. If Jerry does that, Jerry's losing his mind. That more or less that Jerry needs to leave it alone, get
Jerry,
out of the situation,
and
let the kid the kid take it. And then Jerry kind of later on, Jerry made a statement where he kind of backed off what he had said earlier.
I think we're due for a really big Zeke game this week.
I think it's Ezekiel Elliott. I don't trust
This is no disrespect to taking shots. You know, if you're going to say take away Dak, you know, and bring in Romo, you know, because Dak is like a bumpy game or two. What makes you think, based on his history, that Romo is going to come in all of a sudden and be the savior or play any better than Dak, especially in a tough matchup?
I think, because let me ask you this question, Scott. If Clint Romo was playing Sunday night, who would have won that game?
Sunday night? I think the Giants might have still won that game.
They might have won, but I would have felt, as a Giants fan, I would have been scared out of my mind with Tony Romo back there.
But does Dallas win 11 in a row with Tony Romo at quarterback?
They might have won 12 in a row.
I don't know.
All right, we take a break here. We've gone through every game. We've
his last nine games, his record is that he's completed, that he started and finished, his record is 8-1.
It's pretty good. Pretty good. All right, we're going to take a break here. We come back, we'll take your calls at 844-843-6879.
Turn the ball over more, though.
844-84-FNCSY. We also have a lot more fun coming your way. We have a lot of games. It's Friday. Go play some games. This will be exciting. Stick around. It's the Roto Experts in the Morning here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We are back here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. Scotty, you a lot of bad weather around the country here this weekend.
Yeah.
What stands out to you here?
Houston game. 19-mile-an-hour winds. Early prediction.
Are they in Houston?
They're in a dome, Scott.
It's in a dome.
Yeah.
So
well, tailgating.
Tailgating.
It's a real tailgate issue, yeah.
It's probably not 19 mile per hour rain fart in there, the dome. Okay.
Yeah. Scott, I love when you...
But in the break, he was like, I got to hold on. Before we
come
in,
I got
a serious weather thing when we come back in. If Ronis was here, Ronis would have been yelling at you.
I'd rather have you laughing at me.
It's all good, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, it's very important. Everybody listen up.
Yeah. Let's go to Kenny.
What is Ronis' projection say about the game, since you're depending on him?
Oh, come on, Scott. Yeah. Now you're going to act like, come on, you can't get... You did it, Scott.
Yes, I did.
I have an announcement.
Let's go to Kenny in Philly. Kenny, you're off on the Roto Experts in the Morning.
What's up, Kenny?
Kenny, what's good?
We got Kenny? I have some technical
struggling.
Difficulties. Some technical difficulties with Kenny. No big deal.
Well, it's a big deal for Kenny. Kenny, we love you.
You can tweet at us, Kenny.
You can tweet at us. We'll get
you. Tweet at us. Tweet at the Tony Cicada, at Scott E. Roto X, at the Fantasy Exec.
Yeah, and watch next week in Fantasy. Too.
Watch next week in Fantasy. Listen next week in Fantasy. And I believe, Scott, we got a Roto Experts chat with Corey Parson.
Yes, noon Eastern tomorrow.
Yep,
Saturday.
99 cents.
Noon Eastern tomorrow.
Free.
It's 99 cents paid out to the Fantasy Exec, I believe.
Yes, 99 cents a question, Scott.
Question. I don't think we can afford that. It's free. Don't listen to them.
All right. Well, it's free. Yeah. Exclusive Edge Package, RotoExperts.com. Of course, the place to be here. Let's get all your questions.
When we have this email box, right, and the guy wins the title, we talked a little bit about this. Has anyone, where do the tips go when people send in like tips to our experts?
Scott?
I don't think anybody's ever tipped us.
I seen where some a fantasy analyst had put on Facebook, if you was to win, would you tip your favorite analyst? Right? Most of the comments were like, no.
Yeah, because they feel like, you already get paid for what you do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but so does the waitress.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I'm saying? It's like...
But and the waitress is different. It's like etiquette. Like, you know that people who wait tables like work on tips.
Yeah.
We, you know, they feel like
I know
we're
people in the fantasy industry don't work. They don't get paid at all.
Yeah, yeah.
I know that, but I'm saying the outside observer doesn't know what you know, Tony.
No, but still, for a good service, I think it's you don't have to, you know, you don't have to take me, you don't gotta do nothing. I don't like, I'm not looking for a check for $100.
But you're already $1.99 a question.
Okay. But what I would say is this though, it's nothing wrong with a fantasy executive. I picked up Rashad Matthews, I picked up Jameson Crowder, let me buy you a beer. That's enough for me.
I think people have done that for us regardless. I've never had anybody say to me, okay, I want to send you a check for helping me. We've had listeners send us a lot of nice things,
yeah.
You know, in like a lot of autographed merchandise. Yeah. You know, I got a Tyler Lockett autographed helmet. You got an Edelman helmet. You got a Steven Trousberg autographed
baseball cup.
I had a listener when he won his fantasy Super Bowl. He sent me that Russell Wilson jersey that I have with Super Bowl 48 on it.
The craziest thing I ever got. Someone sent me a real Cubs jersey.
Oh, wow.
With Fukudomi on the back.
Wow.
Nice.
And I used to wear it to my kids' like Little League games.
Yeah.
Right. And people would go, is that a real player? I would say, if I could make up anything in the world, why would I make up Fukudomi?
Yeah, that's true, too.
You know, it's like Dom from Queens. He's a listener we've become friends with. You know, he has season tickets to the Jets. He took me to Jets Seahawks with him this year. Those are nice things. And sometimes,
did you go home with him after?
What?
Did you go home with him after?
Yeah, I went to his house.
And then, well, did you
I meet his family?
No.
What?
Did you thank him?
What? I said thank you.
Okay.
Yeah.
So when you ever get anything?
When I go to a guy with a game, it doesn't end up like it does for you.
No one can say anything to me.
Since Sussmania doesn't get anything.
We gotta get something for Sussman.
Nobody's ever sent, none of the listeners ever sent you anything.
Who's your
great
guy, Sussman? If you had to say your one guy that you was like, I was right on this guy, this is my stake, this is my flag, this is my claim to fame, who is that? Have you had that guy yet?
I mean, last year,
Gary Barnage.
Gary Barnage, that's right. That was a good one last year.
Yeah.
Gary Barnage. What about you, Scott?
Latavius Murray.
No, it didn't work at first.
What do you mean it didn't work?
I'm talking about Latavius Murray. He had one good game, you know, when you first were like, hey. I'm talking about in your whole career, you're a fantasy Hall of Famer, a guy that you've been like right on. Latavius Murray's just getting good like
Jordy
last
Nelson.
Week.
Jordy Nelson.
Jordy Nelson?
Yeah.
You was on Jordy Nelson before everybody else?
Yeah.
Okay. What about you, Tony?
Yeah, this is big for me. Jose Bautista and Chris Davis were the two big ones.
I remember Chris Davis. I won some money off that Chris Davis.
Yeah. Like, Tony's on drugs.
He
took him in the third round of the series because I wanted to prove a point.
Yeah.
In those drafts, and he hit the 57 home run.
I was also right. I don't want to say we're right about it. It's not very fun for anybody. 2 years ago, I was right about JD Martinez. That was a good one.
That was
30 home runs.
That was a good one.
I won't let you forget about me and Antonio Brown.
I got
an up and coming one too though, Jameson Crowder.
You were right on Jameson Crowder. Well, you were. I remember in the Greenwich Street Tavern League when I drafted him late. You were like,
I was actually looking for the Antonio Brown Saved Christmas on the internet the other day. I couldn't find it.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
All right,
I have that somewhere. I have it. I saved that somewhere.
When we come back, we have a little fun here this morning. We got some games. It's Christmas season. It's the anthem. Holiday party tonight. Scotty's gonna dance.
Yeah, he's gonna be
Corey's
dancing.
Corey's gonna drink. Tony's gonna make inappropriate jokes. And I'll probably be sitting here shaking my head like I normally do. So, with that being said, stick around. We got some fun coming up the next half hour here on a Friday edition of the Roto Experts in the Morning. We'll be right back. Gentlemen, it's a Friday. We normally like to have some fun the last half hour, so we're going to do it. I have some stuff, some questions here. I'm going to ask you. We'll play a game. The winner will be the champion of the day. You want to be a champion? You know what? I'm going to have a winner a pack of baseball cards. How about that?
Oh, a pack of
minor
league baseball cards?
League baseball cards.
Thanks, Greg.
Those might be worth some someday.
They don't even have gum in them.
These might make you more money than you make now.
You never know.
All right. Are you ready? Are you ready? You want to play?
I doubt it. Yeah, I don't have no choice.
If I win, I'm going to give him a cha-cha.
All right.
Is that nut going to come out tonight? I hope not.
I believe he's coming.
Oh, God.
I think he's coming.
Oh, goodness.
All right. Here we go.
Just want to address the audience over here.
Gentlemen.
Yes, bro.
You'll have three strikes each for the following question.
Oh, jeez.
Can you name every player that finished with 20 or more stolen bases last year?
Oh, so who goes first?
We're going to go in order. We'll go Tony.
All right.
I'll go down.
Mike Trout.
Mike Trout is correct. That's one.
Billy Hamilton.
Billy Hamilton is correct. He would have finished with more than anybody.
Jonathan Villar.
Jonathan Villar is correct.
Yeah, I see. There you look at that.
Chris Bryant.
Chris Bryant is not correct. That is one strike for Tony Zincata.
Oh, Mookie Betts.
Mookie Betts is correct.
Mookie.
Corey.
All right. Jose Altuve.
Jose Altuve is correct.
Springer.
George Springer is not correct. That is two strikes for Tony Zincata. Scott Engel.
Roger Davis.
Roger Davis is correct.
Oh, I was going to say him next.
Let me go with 20 stolen bases.
You need 20. It's all I need.
Jose Reyes.
Jose Reyes is not correct. That's one strike for Corey Parson. Tony, you need to get this one right.
A lot of pressure on me now.
Yes.
I'm feeling it. I'm going to go with Adam Eaton.
That is not correct.
Oh, I'm
Tony,
struck
you
out.
Have been eliminated from the game. Scotty, perfect so far.
This is tough. Daniel Murphy.
Daniel Murphy is not correct. It's a strike for Scott Engel. Corey Parson.
Ian Desmond.
Ian Desmond is not correct.
That was a good guess.
That was a good guess. That's two strikes. Oh, I'm sorry. He's correct.
Oh, that's I missed it.
You're correct. Ian Desmond.
How many? 20 on the nose or 21?
I don't have the numbers.
Okay, my
that's
bad.
Correct. I'm sorry. Right. One strike apiece. Scott Engel, Corey Parson. We got a game here. Scotty.
Damn it. D. Gordon.
D. Gordon is correct.
Oh, that's a good one, Scott. Good. How did I forget D. Gordon? I'm perusing through the leagues.
I can assure you there are still players in the slip that you know.
Oh, man. I can't think of his name. Santo Domingo.
Can I give me a name here?
I know who he means.
I
need a name.
Carlos Martinez?
Carlos Martinez is a pitcher, so no.
No.
He meant Domingo Santana.
He meant Domingo Santana. That's also incorrect.
Okay.
Right. Scotty.
No, he's a bum.
Maybe Jake Seeley can help you out, Corey.
Jason Hayward.
Jason Hayward is not correct. That's two strikes for Scott Engel. Corey. Need an answer, please. Your last.
Carlos Gomez.
Carlos Gomez is not correct. Scotty, I'm going to need you to get this one right in order to win.
Paul Goldschmidt.
That is correct. Scott Engel wins game number one.
That was a good one. You saved it right to the end.
Scott wins game number one. Other players that you could have named, Corey Parson.
Jared Dyson one?
Jared Dyson is one.
Yeah, damn.
So is your guy, Corey.
Who?
Bryce Harper.
I was going to say Bryce Harper.
But you didn't.
I don't know why I didn't. Jesus.
But you didn't say Bryce Harper. You also could have said your guy, Jacoby Ellsbury.
I thought of him, too. What the hell?
I'm trying to name some other people that Corey knows. Starling Marte.
I know all of them,
Starling Marte. Here are the ones you guys missed in alphabetical order.
Starling Marte won me a lot of money, and I didn't get it.
Bryce Harper, Chris Owings.
What's wrong with me?
Eduardo Nunez, Elvis Andres, Hernan Perez.
Oh, man.
Ellsbury Dyson, Gene Segura.
Trey Turner.
Jose Peraza. I'll get to them. Jose Ramirez. Keon Broxton. Come on, guys.
Keon Broxton.
Kevin Kiermaier. Leonis Martin. Melvin Upton Jr. Odubel Herrera, who's just got a new contract. Goldschmidt. Starling Marte. Travis Jankowski. Trey Turner.
Travis Jankowski.
Will
tough one.
Myers.
You know why Tony goes, what's wrong with me? We are not in baseball mode right now. It's just cobwebs, and you got to move them away.
All right. So Scott has won game number one.
Scott, congratulations.
Scott, you'll be going first in game number two. Are you ready?
Yeah, get on the phone.
Here we go. If anyone wants to phone a friend, Jake Seeley is here for
you.
Oh, so that's like...
wants to be a millionaire?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, here we go.
Jake Seeley's the lifeline.
How many NFL... Here's an NFL question for you. NFL broadcasters can you name? Active broadcasters that have called an NFL game this season. Sideline reporters do not count. Mm-hmm. I need either a play-by-play person or a color commentator. How many NFL broadcasters can you name this year? Scott Engel, we've been with you.
Jim Nantz.
Jim Nantz is correct. Corey?
Joe Buck.
Joe Buck, correct.
Sean McDonough.
Sean McDonough is correct. I don't have to. Oh, I didn't put this one in alphabetical order, but yes, that's correct.
Boomer Esiason.
That is incorrect. He's a pre. He's a pregame. He's on the radio. He's on a television color commentator. So that is a strike for you.
Oh, okay. You didn't want it bad enough, Scott.
Yeah.
Oh, Troy Aikman.
Troy Aikman is correct.
Dan Fouts.
Dan Fouts is correct.
Iron Eagle.
Iron Eagle is correct.
Go back to the booth. Go with ballhead dude Charles Davis.
Charles Davis is correct.
Merlin Olsen.
That's not correct, obviously.
correct 15 years ago.
I was about to say,
five more than that.
Daryl Johnston.
Daryl Johnston's correct.
Daryl Moose
absolutely.
Johnson.
Yeah. The Moose.
Oh, boy. What's our homie name that used to be on the field for the Mets?
Sure, that's correct.
Isn't that him?
Would you like to phone your friend? Jake Seeley's a Met fan.
Jake Seeley, Met fan, the former Met broadcaster that does NFL games now. Very popular.
I can help you with a random name if you want a random name. But then
very popular New York Met broadcaster.
Can we give him that, gentlemen? What's the ruling on this?
He should be able to name him.
All right, Scott's not giving it to you. We're not giving you a strike if you can't get this one.
Kevin Lockhart. Kevin.
Very close. You're right there. You're right there.
Kevin Burkhart.
There it is.
There you go. Kevin Burkhart.
Give it to him.
Al Michaels.
Al Michaels is correct.
Chris Collinsworth.
Correct. Back to you, Corey. Very quickly.
Kevin Harlan.
Kevin Harlan's correct, absolutely.
Oh, he's the best. Dick Enberg.
That's not correct. Dick Enberg is retired.
Can he be team broadcasters or just national broadcasters?
I need national broadcasters.
National broadcast.
There's no professional team.
Sam Rosen.
Sam Rosen.
That's a good one, Scotty. Yeah. Sam Rosen.
Sam Rosen's correct.
Ross Tucker.
That is not correct.
Ross Tucker's not correct?
Two super obvious
ones. That's okay. You walked out of the room. Ross Tucker, he was a sideline reporter at games. He has not been a color commentator or play-by-play.
Wow, I thought Ross was in the booth.
It's your first strike, Corey.
Okay.
Corey, Scott, I'm sorry, Tony, you have two. This could be your third one.
Yeah.
Be eliminated again.
Here comes Howard Cosell.
Irv Cross.
Irv Cross was good back in his day.
That is incorrect. That is three strikes.
Oh, he's done too?
Tony, you've been eliminated once again.
He does preseason for the Vikings.
Oh, see, I'm close.
Rich Gannon.
Rich Gannon is correct.
Oh, that's a good one. Rich Gannon right there. NFL broadcaster in the booth. Mike Tirico.
Mike Tirico is correct.
I was going to say him, but I didn't want to go.
But you're
out. Think he's any good?
No, I wanted to go with Irv Cross.
Can you go close to the mic? I can hear you.
I love that guy.
I love that guy.
No, that was a hint.
Oh,
no, Tony's out.
I'm out.
Oh. Tony's out.
Yeah, Gruden?
Come on.
Oh, sorry.
Come on. Jake's really screaming at the other side.
You meant Jay.
All right. Scott's on you.
Rondé Barber.
Rondé Barber is correct.
All right. Got to go back in. Said Charles Davis already. Phil Sims.
Phil Sims is correct. You're Scotty.
Gus Johnson.
Gus Johnson is not correct.
Oh, no, Gus Johnson.
He does college football.
Yeah, NFL. Yeah.
All right, that's your first strike. One strike apiece. Corey and Scotty.
All right. Al Michaels.
I was already said.
Oh, Al Michaels was said already.
Try again.
In the booth this year.
In the booth. It's tough. I'm sorry. I lied. Gus Johnson did broadcast the game this year for Fox. On the last crew. That is correct, Scotty. I take
Scotty,
away a strike.
Scotty, you're the man.
Take it away a strike. That's correct, Scotty. I apologize.
Oh, boy. Solomon Wilcox.
That is correct. Solomon Wilcox. Absolutely. Scott Engel.
Dan Fouts.
Dan Fouts is already said. Try again.
Wow. Man, now it's getting tough.
It's very tough. There's a couple of names on here that's definitely gettable.
I know one guy that's...
Because Jake told you, right?
No.
It still hasn't been said, that one, by the way, officially. It's still on the board.
There's going to be one that doesn't get answered.
I can't let you say it. I'm sorry.
No, I'm going to keep it to myself.
Please do.
Brian Baldinger.
Brian Baldinger is incorrect. I'm sorry.
Oh, he used to be a guy.
He used to be a guy, yeah.
All right.
So it's your first strike now, right, Scott? Yeah.
For the listening audience.
Yeah, go ahead, Tony.
Fantasy Feel executive it. Has the blank stare on his face.
Blank stare. Come on, Corey.
Boy.
Come on, Corey.
Let's go in the booth this year.
His son played quarterback, too.
Is Bill Cowher? Is Bill Cowher?
Bill Cowher is not correct. I'm sorry.
Yeah, he didn't take
it's
one strike to the booth.
It's two strikes for you. Scotty.
Oh.
Oh, you come back. You're not out yet. You're not out yet. Quarter of a deal. You got to be closer to the mic, Tony.
John Lynch.
John Lynch is correct.
That's a good one, Scott. That's a good pull right there.
Yeah.
Marv Albert Jr.
Kenny Albert. Is Kenny Albert.
Yeah. Kenny, I said Marv Albert Jr.
We know who you meant.
Kenny Albert.
We know
yeah.
You meant. Yep. That's correct. Scott Angle. Getting tough out here.
It is getting.
These
tough.
Names are not easy. These names are not easy. Jake's trying to mouth things.
What's that?
You should know your team.
And he's talking out loud for some reason. He's not by a mic. Would you come by the mic and at least talk?
No, I'm waiting for the Wi-Fi.
All right.
He's saying you should
you're
know
on
your
radio,
team.
Though, so like, I'm trying to, you know.
If we could go team broadcasters, I'd still
we're
be rolling here.
Again, stop what? Talking. Out. If you want to come by the microphone, okay, Jake. Okay. Come on. There you go.
I wonder if
Heath Evans.
Heath Evans is not correct. Good guess, though. That's two
he's
strikes
on the NFL
for you.
Network now.
Yes. Two yeah. strikes for you. Corey.
Joe Theismann?
No, I'm sorry. It's three strikes. Scott, if you get this one
three
right,
strikes?
If you get this one right, you, sir, are winner of game number two.
Damn.
All I need is one more. If oh, not, yeah. if you get this one wrong, Corey gets another chance here. Mm. I go back and forth.
Damn. I'm trying to think of former players here. No, he's not broadcasting
there isn't
anymore.
There isn't any. No, Google, please.
Oh, I'm not. I wouldn't cheat you.
You can't cheat me. Yeah.
There's
a couple easy ones left.
There are a couple easy ones left.
Couple.
I'm trying to go by position in my head too.
Scott, I'm gonna need an answer here.
Mark Malone.
That is not correct. Corey, you're back in the game. Corey, right. I need an answer, please. NFL broadcasters.
NFL broadcaster 2016 season.
I guess I'll just take John Gruden off the list because Jake kind of said it already.
Yeah.
Let's take John Gruden off the list. We need an answer here.
Howard Cross?
Howard Cross, not just for the Giants on the radio.
Oh.
I'm sorry. Scott Angle! You got nothing?
Like, I'm going through
team. Give me an answer.
Marshall Faulk.
That is not correct, as you know. This will be your last time around. If nobody wins, we'll have a tie, and we'll rules want a tie.
Sterling Sharp
is not correct. Corey is out. Scott, if you get this right, you're winner by yourself. If not, we have a tie.
Scott, you're going to want it.
Oh, man.
Pretending like Mickey Rourke.
Damn it. I can't think of one.
All right. Need an answer here, buddy.
Rodney Harrison.
That is not correct. Who is the one that you knew with, Tony?
I was thinking Tony Baselli.
Tony Baselli's not correct either.
He's doing radio. How about...
miss Kurt Menefee.
Kurt Menefee is also not correct.
That's not correct.
No, he does not call games, Jake.
Yeah. In the booth.
In the booth.
Yeah.
He does not call games in the booth. He is the host of the Fox NFL pregame show at noon.
Seahawks games.
He does not call Seahawks games because he's the national... He's host NFL on Fox during the season.
How about Mark Brunell?
Mark Brunell is not correct either. Here are the answers.
Oh, I should have known this guy.
Tom Brenneman. Chris Myers, Dick Stockton, you had Edinburgh.
Damn,
Stockton.
I should have known Chris Myers.
Chris Spielman, Dan Helly, David Deal, former Giant, Brady Quinn, Joel Klatt.
Brady Quinn?
I didn't know
Those are the Fox guys, the CBS guys you left. Greg Gumbel, Trent Green, Spiro Dinas.
That's the one I should have got.
Andrew Catalan, Steve Berline, this is one you should have got, Scotty. Steve Tasker, Tom McCarthy, Adam Archuleta. Scott Kaplan, Carter Blackburn. You guys said
Scott Kaplan. He's a sideline reporter.
Steve Tasker's a sideline reporter also.
In the playoffs, he is. He's called games in the booth as well this year. And the last one, I said Phil Sims. You didn't say Chris Sims, who had also called a game.
Damn. I used to work with Scott Kaplan, too.
Brian Greasy has not called NFL games this year.
Where's Chris Sims? No. Chris Sims called games for Fox?
That was a tough one.
He's called
that was a tough one.
That's going to do it for the broadcasters. Scott is We have no winner of that game, we'll say. So Scott's up 1-0. Couple more games to go.
Nobody said Chris Collinsworth.
Yes, they did.
Yeah, okay,
did.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, yes, we did. The Road Rushers in the morning. Scott up 1-0. It's game time, baby. Stick around. We wrap up the show. Coming up next. Of course, this is Lauren here at the bar saying this live for us. 10 minutes away from Fantasy Best Friends Forever here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. All right, Scott is 1-0 here. We had a tie in game two. This is game number 3. Are you ready? Corey,
let's
go first.
Let's rock and roll. All right.
How many, name all of the fantasy sites that you can that do not have the word Roto or Fantasy in the title?
Pro Football Focus.
Is that a fantasy site? Is there a fantasy on that?
Nope.
Yeah. There is, says Jake Steele. Okay, we'll count it. Jake will be the judge. Jake will be your judge because I don't know all of them.
We can count that one, right?
We'll count it. We'll count it. Focus, it has fantasy. You can play fantasy. This is cool. It's a fantasy site, we're saying. Okay. Yeah.
RotoWire.
RotoWire, that is correct. No, it's not. We said, without the word Roto. Without the word Roto. It's completely incorrect. Entirely incorrect.
I thought you said without fantasy.
And Roto. It's one strike for Tony Scott. He's struggling this morning.
I almost won that. Right? I almost got away with it.
Football guys.
Football guys is correct. Corey?
It's back to me. Late round quarterback.
Sure. I never heard of that, but sure.
Is that the name?
That's not the name. That's a strike for Corey Parson. Thank God we have Jake here.
That's his Twitter handle. He doesn't do that anymore.
No, can you not have this whole speech when you don't have a mic in front of you?
Do you want me to help or not?
All right.
Leftwinglock.com.
Is that a thing? Sure.
Razzball.
Razzball, that works. That's Razzball works. Problem is, there's too many of this that I don't have on my list. This is
the fake baseball.
Sure.
Yeah.
ESPN.
Yes, that's correct. Yeah, I have that. See, that's on the list.
Masters Ball.
Yes.
Corey?
CBS Fantasy.
That's correct. Well, that's CBS Fantasy. CBS.com.
Yahoo.
Yahoo, correct.
ChandlerPark.com.
They went out of business.
Is that? It's not in business anymore. Is that still?
The site is still up.
See if you can get it.
The site's still up. I was on it the other day.
ChandlerPark.com, you said?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
All right, let's find out here. We're working it here, ChandlerPark.com. It says sorry.
I was just on it the other day. Oh, sorry,
that does not count.
You're lying to
our
audience.
That is a strike.
Wait a minute. Hold on. I don't believe it.
You don't believe me.
No.
You don't believe Pro Football Reference. You don't believe this.
Yeah, Scott's a non-believer. We'll find that out today.
Give me 4-for-4 football.
Okay. Wow. I know that site exists. Okay.
I'm stunned.
Pigskins and Pigtails.
Is that real?
Judges don't like that one. I think Tony made that one up. He did.
Sandlot Shrink.
That's Shrink?
That's a good one right there.
All right.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Corey?
DraftKings.
That's correct.
NFL.com.
Correct.
Yahoo.
Already been said.
Okay. Hold on. I'm just
no problem.
Laughing at myself here.
Oh, please laugh away.
Let's see. I did that one already. That one's gone.
Run out of time on the show.
Yeah, this is.
Come on. Come on. Get an answer.
No. Damn.
This is the easiest.
And that's been. That's. Yeah. I'm sorry, Scott. You're running out of time. Corey.
Number fire.
Sure.
MLB.com.
Correct. Scotty. You have 2 strikes at the moment.
NBA.com.
Correct.
I'm about to say, well, you can't say that one. FanDuel.
Correct.
Yeah. NASCAR.com.
Sure.
No.
Can't say fantasy.
No. I was about to say another.
Deal. All right. You know what?
God, you've
been eliminated. This game is over. Yeah. We're moving on to the last game. We were done with this
Scott
one.
Scott was doing well.
Guru Elite.
Guru Elite was on here for sure. What else? I have Scout. Scout.com?
Football Guys.
Football Guys. Archie Sports. FanXT.com.
Archie Sports is not qualify because it's called Real Time Fantasy Sports.
Whatever. It's Archie Sports.
The website is
Archie
Sports.
No, it's Real Time Fantasy Sports.
You're
the name of the company.
You're not the judge. It doesn't matter. No one said
know
that
your
anyway.
Role.
No one said that anyway. Here's our final game of the day. Final game of the week.
That would have been accurate.
Well, it doesn't. Again, no one said it, so it doesn't matter. Here we go. This is your last one. I'm going to say it. You guys are all going to answer. Is the name of what I say a Game of Thrones
episode name or a Seinfeld episode
name. Oh, that's a good game. I like this one.
Yeah. Here we go. The Gift. Is it a Seinfeld episode name or Game of Thrones?
The Gift. It's going to be Game of Thrones.
Seinfeld.
Game of Thrones.
All right. Scotty, you're the only one that did not get a point on that round.
Oh, Scotty's going downhill. He's derailing.
Tony and Corey up 1-0. The Foundation, Scott.
Thrones.
Seinfeld.
Scott's in a confidence. Thrones.
Scott and Tony do not get points.
Oh,
Corey Parsons. Seinfeld is correct.
I jumped off the bridge with this knucklehead.
Corey Parsons.
Oh, blame me.
The Fire.
That's Game of Thrones.
Yeah, it's Game of Thrones.
Seinfeld.
Scott Engel gets a point there. It is Seinfeld.
That's the one where George was like, fire!
There you go.
Yeah.
So it's Corey at 2. The other guys have 1. The Pointy End, Tony.
Game of Thrones.
Seinfeld.
Thrones.
Tony and Corey pick up points there. And Scott in last with 1 point. Corey has 3. Tony has 2. Number 5, The Climb. Scotty?
Oh, that's Seinfeld.
Yep.
That's Seinfeld. Scott didn't know Poker Face.
Seinfeld.
You're all incorrect. It's Game of Thrones.
Wow. Damn. Scott, no Poker
Face. I thought that's the one where he climbed the mountain with Dan Cortez. That's a good one, because I thought the episode Stranded. With Dan Cortez.
The Stranded is Seinfeld.
I'm going the Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones.
Our winner and champion, Corey Parson, The Stranded, is Seinfeld. That is going to do it for us. Have a wonderful rest of your Friday, a wonderful week 15 this weekend. Stay tuned to Fantasy BFFs for more games with Nando DeFino, Jake Seeley, and Corey Parson. Have a great one, everybody. Oh, hello there. If you're enjoying the Roto Experts in the Morning on demand, well, there's a whole nother hour that you could listen to live every single weekday morning from Monday to Friday. If you want more laughs from Corey Parson, listen to the Roto Experts from 7 to 10 a.m. Eastern every single weekday morning. It's the Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.